This is Cronkite News to Go. I'm your host, Deanna Pistono. On today's show, we talk about the recent attack on ASU professor David Boyles, the Diamondbacks' loss, and how prescribed burns in Williams, Arizona help protect the landscape from potential wildfires. A recent attack on a queer professor happened in the Tempe campus and was widely perceived as a hate crime. ASU police say the investigation is ongoing. The university's response thus far has caused a general feeling of unease for the LGBTQ+ community at ASU. Kenny Rasmussen has more on the story.
On October 11th, National Coming Out Day, Professor David Boyles was attacked by two members of the far-right political org Turning Point USA in a supposed ambush interview that turned violent. According to a video posted online, Turning Point member Kellen Dalmeida confronted Boyles with homophobic accusations.
David, you can't run. It's best if you just talk to me about why you want to push sodomy onto young people.
Boyles ended up holding his hand out to block the other member's camera before being shoved into the ground by Dalmeida. The action was condemned by ASU President Michael Crow, who viewed it in other efforts of the organizations to demonize professors, such as their online database, the Professor Watch List, as anti-democratic and responsible for violence on campus. The attack remains a subject of discussion on campus, especially in LGBTQ+ organizations, where there is a general consensus that the university has yet to do enough in response, in spite of Crow's statement. Anthony Skarmak, vice president of Confetti, the downtown campus's LGBTQ+ student group, believes looking into a ban of the two members who instigated the attack, if not TPUSA as a whole, might be necessary, believing the organization presents a credible threat against the safety of ASU professors.
Just to take a hard look at the company and see if they should be allowed on campus because this happened to one of their staff members, so they should always take priority.
Brenna Garcia, facilitator of advocacy for Rainbow Coalition, the umbrella organization under which various LGBTQ+ student orgs operate, insists that banning TPUSA would make the students feel safer. Garcia says queer students have told them they feel unsafe at ASU due to there being little in the way of punishment for TPUSA besides a reprimand. There is a belief that this attack will open the precedent for queer students to be attacked without consequence.
If an attack like this can happen to faculty, it can happen to students.
This belief is held in part due to the inferred protections of faculty.
And they also argued that professors have more legal protection because they're at least in an employee-employer relationship and can pursue workplace safety and harassment claims with legal standing beyond ASU, since basically all students here are legal adults. Child protection, things like that, doesn't apply to us. So if ASU does nothing, we're basically unprotected.
While ASU has defended Turning Point's right to host events on campus in the name of free speech, students wonder if a physical attack on a professor can even be considered speech at all. Kenny Rasmussen, Cronkite News.
Roughly 2,500 wildfires break out every year across Arizona, according to the Department of Forestry and Fire Management. With this audio essay, Kirsten Edgett takes us to Williams, Arizona, to see how the U.S. Forest Service is fighting fire with fire.
I'm at the Kaibab National Forest, just south of the Grand Canyon. Trees rustling, birds chirping in the distance, maybe the occasional deer running far off.
So it's like 7 a.m. right now. A bunch of the fire trucks are starting to drive out here. It's very cold.
Kaibab Forest is usually still and quiet, but today is different. It's a prescribed burn day. Prescribed burns are contained fires ordered by the U.S. Forest Service. It's almost like getting a flu shot. It doesn't fully protect you against getting sick, but helps your body to fight off the flu better. The idea is simple. Trees exposed to controlled fires build up a better protection against uncontrolled fires. These fires also burn off any smaller branches on trees or dead leaves on the ground that could fuel potential wildfires. I've heard about controlled burns before, but haven't witnessed firsthand, since there aren't exactly a lot of forests to burn near my apartment in downtown Tempe.
Okay, We'll get started with the weather.
Pre-burn planning starts early in the morning with a debrief to go over things like the location of the burn, what the weather is like in the area, and if there's a possibility that a burn could be canceled.
We may actually see our humidity dip below 20% this afternoon, so it'll be a bit drier out there today.
It starts with firefighters using drip torches to burn small patches on the outer edges of the area, creating what's known as a black line. The drip torches used to burn the perimeter look like small gasoline cans with a wick at the top of the nozzle and contain a mixture of gasoline and diesel. By burning these outer edges, the fire that starts at the center has a lower chance of spreading since there's no more foliage to use as fuel.
The temperature drops, when it drops off steep there, I'd put it at 25 instead of 20.
So they're talking about manifest weight. Are you familiar with this?
No.
They have to exact the amount of weight that's on this ship before they can fly. And based on temperature and barometric pressure, 15, when he flies, he has to know it changes, it fluctuates from time to time. And it's called manifest weight. And it's something they have to exact every day.
This is Bob Blazy. He's a public information officer with the U.S. Forest Service and our guide for the day. A helicopter flies over the center of the area and, using a machine known as a PSD, drops what's called fireballs to ignite the ground within the burning edges. As all of this is happening, water trucks are patrolling the dirt roads lining the land to target what's called spot fires that could potentially spill over. I'm with the team from the U.S. Forest Service. We stand directly in front of the fires. All of us are wearing fire protective gear, which are red hard hats and bright yellow coats.
There's more to it than just a bunch of cavemen dragging drip torches around.
Blazy's job isn't just to respond to media inquiries. He also talks with people that might be affected by the fire, those that live or work there.
Yeah, you know, a lot of the public will see it and go, no, you know, we're frightened, and are you putting that out? Do you guys have the fire out yet? Actually, no, we lit it. And they're like, what? You know, and it's like, it's okay. It's just the fire.
Planning begins months in advance to notify local residents and authorities about the burn. While we are driving along the dirt road, I see an extremely brief flash of movement a few cars ahead of us before we stop for a few minutes. Blazy gets out of his truck saying a very upset cowboy was rounding up his cattle and wasn't sure whose fault it was that he was unaware of the day's plans.
No, nothing bad is happening.
Yeah.
And if you think cattle are stupid enough to stand there and get burned, you're going to think they know how to run away real good.
When prescribed burns happen, residents in the area are usually notified to clear out any livestock. But for wildlife, it's different. Lindsay Nava, crew member on Fuel's Crew 71, says a lot of the animals use burns for hunting.
I've been on these prescribed burns seeing coyotes and foxes running into the burning woods because they know they can get the little, like, mice and critters that are running out.
Eddie Alford, a retired senior lecturer at ASU, says that they try to
design the fire so that it won't be so large that it would impact wildlife so bad that they didn't have a place to go.
Vegetation in the forest varies, and so does the response to controlled burns. This difference in reactions to fire is known as a fire regime.
Those vegetation types have a different fire behavior that they evolved with. Ponderosa pine has a natural fire regime of 7 to 12 years, and grasslands about 1 to 5 years as far as frequency goes. Woodlands, pinyon, juniper about every 50 years.
Before leaving, I stood at an open field near the fire. A large mass of gray smoke clouded the sky. Zach Boness, burn boss with the Forest Service, says that northern Arizona is a fire-dependent ecosystem.
Fire is part of how these trees remain healthy, how the forest remains healthy. And so reintroducing fire when it otherwise wouldn't be possible or in windows where we can control fire behavior allows us to reduce those forest fuels and keep the forest healthier to reduce the risk of catastrophic wildfires when conditions are not conducive to, you know, forest health or public safety.
In Williams, Arizona, for Cronkite News to Go, I'm Kirsten Edgett.
We had hoped that the Diamondbacks would still be continuing their World Series run, but that didn't happen. Their season ended Wednesday night when they lost Game 5 of the World Series. So, with that in mind, Austin Hipola takes a brief look back at how their season went.
Here's Ketel Marte, 0 for 1, 3 runs.
It's happened! The Texas Rangers!
The Arizona Diamondbacks' improbable postseason run came to a sudden end as they were defeated by the Texas Rangers 5-0 in Game 5 of the World Series. It was a roller coaster of a year for the organization, as they vastly exceeded expectations that most people set for the team at the start of the season. While the World Series loss will sting for a while, D-backs manager Torrey Lovello still offered his congratulations to the Rangers and let his own players know that they should still be proud of what they accomplished.
They were the best team. They beat us fair and square. I just got done telling the guys that I'm so proud of what they've done. And we have to step back for a minute and tell ourselves that we've done a lot of really amazing things this year.
An emotional Lovello says that he will let the Fall Classic loss run its course. He wants the team to remember how this loss feels and to not compartmentalize it.
I want to run away and hide for a few days. I want to go camping and just sit in the tent and suck my thumb, you know, and eat ice cream. Is that the weirdest answer you guys have ever had right there?
Despite the crushing defeat, the 2023 season was nothing short of spectacular for the D-backs. They finished with a record of 84-78, led by four All-Stars, Corbin Carroll, Lourdes Gurriel Jr., Zach Gallen, and Geraldo Perdomo. The team would go on to sweep the Brewers in the wildcard round, sweep the Dodgers in the NLDS, and then defeat the Phillies in Game 7 of the NLCS. To say this was a magical run would be selling it short, especially considering that the D-backs were not even favored in any of these games. The Diamondbacks are understandably going to take some time to recover from their World Series loss. Once they're able to turn the page, look out for them heading into the 2024 season. For Cronkite Sports in Phoenix, I'm Austin Hepola.
And this was your CN to Go. Special thanks to Kenny Rasmussen, Austin Hepola, and Kirsten Edgett for their stories in this episode. This show was hosted and produced by me, Deanna Pistono. Until next time.